The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Norwich Solar Technologies, The Alchemist Brewery, Let's Grow Kids, UVM Medical Center, and nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.
Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're spending the hour this week looking at how the coronavirus pandemic is being felt in schools, and we're focusing on one school district, the Harwood Union Unified School District, which includes Warren, Waitsfield, Moortown, Faiston, Waterbury, and I hope I didn't forget any there, five towns in the district. In this half hour, we are joined by Bridget Neese, the superintendent of the Harwood District, Katie Sullivan, a teacher at Warren Elementary School, and Paul Morris, the chef at Harwood Union High School and part of the leadership team of the food services group of this. So welcome, all of you, to the Vermont Conversation. I want to start with Bridget Neese, the superintendent. Bridget, what is some of the challenges that you face in moving from an in-person school district to an online school district?
Well, let's just start with a really big question, David. The answer to that is there are many challenges. Schooling and learning is not just at the touch of a button. And the teachers are working around the clock to not only teach themselves the technology and the online platforms, but really to completely restructure their curriculum. And first they did that thinking there was just going to be a two-week break to do that in. And especially at the high school level, it's really inside out, as we now know this is continuing for the rest of the year. So every day presents a new list of challenges that we have to collaborate around and come up with answers to.
What has been, can you identify something that has been kind of the biggest hurdle?
I think it really is the restructuring of curriculum and what learning looks like face-to-face in a school to an online platform. It is much more difficult than maybe what people might imagine. It's extremely time-consuming to plan and change. And even though you have connectivity through things like Zoom meetings and the like, you are still isolated at home and unable to work with your partner teachers, on your teams, in your job alikes, and so on. So communication overall in an integrated way is much more difficult this way.
How are students with special learning needs, how are you able to meet those needs at this moment?
There are a variety of ways. Donna Ray Dawson, who is our Director of Student Special Services, is in charge of that sort of area, and she's working collaboratively with all of our special educators, our interventionists, and others in the district. Those students receive learning plans and curricular work like any other. We're in the process of working through all of our support staff to assign them to students that need that extra support online. It's really a one-day-at-a-time effort of problem-solving, answering questions, and improving upon the prior day.
Do you feel like learning can and is happening in this environment, or are you just feeling like it's a success to sort of, tread water?
I don't think it's treading water. I think there absolutely will be learning. Kids are hungry for learning, and their teachers are doing wonderful things. We have classes with morning meetings online. We have Harkness discussions online, a variety of different things. If I had a concern, David, it would be with the inconsistencies from class to class. And I think that we do need to really focus on where we are as a state and the struggle that this potentially brings to parents. I'm getting messages where parents are becoming overwhelmed. They now know this goes on to the rest of the year. Many of our parents are essential providers. They're working outside the home all day. and they're not really available to fully homeschool their students. And the younger they are, the less independent they are. Our teachers are homeschooling their own students in a variety of different grade levels. They're teaching their students. It's a lot. So I think the sustainability of it all in terms of the learning, both in terms of the amount of learning and maybe the quality of learning, right? There will be learning, but I think it will be more disparate and inconsistent. And I would imagine that once we're back in our school buildings and operating, there definitely will need to be some sort of backup and really move our students through from the place that they are currently at that time.
Are there any positives that are coming out of this experience? Things, good things that are happening that might not have were it not for this?
Well, I think there's always good things out of every challenge. Right now, we are pretty buried in the problems that have to be solved to pull this off and sustain it. I want to be honest about that. But children get very excited to have a morning meeting, for example, and to see their friends and their teacher. They miss each other. And I think that watching those relationships flourish, even in this unusual way, is very heartwarming and a truly, truly a positive. And I might not answer this question very well because it's around-the-clock problem solving in terms of the positives. I think I'm hearing from some that time that families get to have together is a gift, albeit filled with the challenges of homeschooling and moving forward. I'm thankful that it is springtime and we can get outside. The glass half full in me says if this would have been November, at the time that this would have hit, it would have been much more difficult. So I think some outdoor activities and walking and fitness things are more easy to attend to. That's what comes to mind.
Well, let me turn to Paul Morris. Paul is the, well, he has been the head of food services at Harwood Union High School, and I'm not sure, Paul, is your title is more district-wide, or certainly your actions are now are more district-wide. What is happening with making sure students are well-fed at this time?
Well, David, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I am the co-director for the district with Erica Dolan, who was in charge of all the Waterbury schools. So now the two of us have combined our forces. So we had a pretty quick challenge when the governor closed schools down and were able to take all the food out of the seven schools that we had food in, ship it all to Harwood, and then process any perishable food that needed to be processed. Either, like, we ended up having over 200 pounds of onions. We were doing our locavore. We had planned to do our locavore lunch that Wednesday, and so we had 50 loaves of Red Hen bread, 200 pounds of Pete's Greens carrots. So we were able to start using that stuff, the foods that we had in-house, to be able to, that was on Monday, and then on Wednesday we sent out our first round of food, and it took a lot of work behind the scenes to get things up and going. Happy to say Erica was ahead of the program on that and had us set up. We had to sign up for a summer feeding program as opposed to the national school lunch program. And so we had some paperwork to do with the state and figure out the logistics of where we could cook out of, where we needed to send the food and how to do that. And quickly we were able to get the Harwood buses on board, and we have a great crew that really came together, and we took over the cafeteria, and we do all of our packaging out there in the cafeteria, and we pretty much have the Harwood crew in the kitchen doing most of the cooking and the rest of the food service staff doing pretty much everything and anything they're asked to do, and they've just been fabulous.
How many students are you cooking for? Who are these students, and how is the food getting to them?
So we are sending food out 3 days a week, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. So we are sending out on Mondays and Wednesdays, the students would get two breakfasts and two lunches. And then on Wednesday, they'd also get two breakfasts and two lunches. And Friday, they get one lunch and one breakfast. So we're trying to just do deliveries three days a week to try to keep down the exposure of our staff to the public and our public to the staff. There are any child that actually in Vermont that's under 18 is eligible to come to one of our feeding sites. We currently have around 420, I think today we had about 425 actual students that were fed. So in today's scenario, each of those students got four meals. So we sent out about 1,600 meals.
So 400 students, I believe the whole district is around 1,800 students. So it's a significant portion of the student body of the district that is getting the meals.
Yes, I would say so.
What kind of what happens when? What are the drivers and the folks staffing the bus? What are they reporting? What is the scene out on the roads?
I've only been outside of Horwood when food was picked up here. We are delivering food to all of the schools except for Crossetbrook. So we have one bus that goes to Faiston, drops off there. We have a table set up at each school. We have two volunteers that are helping us. And then we have one staff member on one of the Harwood buses. So we have two buses. So we have one bus that goes to Faiston, drops off there, then goes up to Warren, comes back down to Harwood. If they have any extra meals, we use them at Harwood is our last pickup. We use them there. And then we send that bus down to Thatcherbrook. And we bought about 45 large plastic Silex containers to pack everything into. And so we get all those containers back from Thatcherbrook on the bus. And so that's the logistics is we've got a couple buses on the road. And when we're at the sites, we've got a table at each site. And we're really trying to have the social distancing as much as possible, and we do ask that people that are picking up the meals just give our staff some space, so we try to set up, put the stuff on the table, and then ask the people to step forward and take the food, and then we do the next one.
Is the demand changing, going up, going down from week to week?
I know the demand has been going steadily up. Our first day doing it was March 18th, and our numbers were more like 260, 270-ish, and they've slowly gone up every time we've done meals, we've done more.
Well, let me turn to Katie Sullivan, a teacher at Warren Elementary School. Katie, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
So, tell me about your classroom, who you teach, and how you're teaching it now.
I teach third and fourth grade, and we have two classes of combined third and fourth grade. And along with my teammate, Heidi Hill, kind of share who teaches math and who teaches literacy. So we're working really closely together.
And how do you connect with the students? Is it all video, Zoom-type teaching? Or?
Yeah, we have morning meetings that we see with our own kind of homeroom class, and most of the kids are on those. And that's our individual. Heidi has her group, and I have my group. Tomorrow is joke day, by the way, so if anyone wants to send us some jokes, we'd love that. And then we're having individual Zoom meetings with kids, and we have a lot of email conversations with them as well.
What are you hearing back from your third and fourth graders when you have these meetings with them?
You know, we are realizing that how much we really miss the kids, and they are saying that they miss us, and they miss being with their friends and seeing their friends. So that's one thing that we're hearing from them. But when I'm checking in with them and asking them if they feel like they have the right amount of work, if they feel like they're able to do it, right now all of my kids are saying yes. We're putting supports in place where we're seeing that they're needed, but I, at least from the students' perspective, what they're communicating with me, it sounds like they're feeling like it's a good balance of assigned work.
Do all of your students have internet access and can participate in this way?
Yes, I am. Every student that I work with in third and fourth grade has internet access, except some of it is stronger than others. So, you know, sometimes a student will blink in and out of a Zoom meeting, or we can't hear them very well, or they can't hear me very well because I'm also up on a mountain with not great internet access. But I haven't encountered anybody yet that doesn't have it at all.
You know, I asked this of some of the educators in the first half hour, but let me ask you, what do you want parents and the community to know about your students and how they're doing?
I want them to know that every single student is doing an amazing job, and they are, to a kid, you know, responsive, they're trying, they're interested, they care about each other. A lot of them are having their own Google Hangouts and Zoom meetings just so that they can connect with each other. And I think that they are kind of stepping up to the plate in a way that that I might not have expected, in terms of how much they're really just taking on their own. It's very impressive.
Like what? Give us an example.
Well, one example is, like, one of my students that I talked to today, he started his own Google Hangouts with third graders, just his, you know, his third grade class, so that they could all hang out together and see each other. And that's in addition to just the morning meetings that we're having. I've also talked to kids who have been doing, say, looking at virtual museum tours. That's not something that I assigned. And then they would say, you know, this is really good. You should tell everybody else about it. So I would say things like that.
Do you think that there is there could be any silver lining to what's happening now, things that might happen that wouldn't ordinarily have happened?
Yeah, I actually do, and I think it's connected to what I was just saying. I feel like a possible benefit is that kids are becoming more self-reliant in undertaking their own initiative, and you know, understanding that this is sort of on them. And my second silver lining is, I've talked to kids who originally would sort of balk about going to school and didn't really want to go to school or didn't necessarily like it, and now they realize that they miss it. So I think they might have a new appreciation for it when we come back next fall.
Bridget Neese, as you, as the superintendent, as you look down the field here, what do you see ahead? What are you anticipating as a challenge or opportunity?
Well, you know, David, in my role as the superintendent, the truth is everything just feels upside down. So all of the things that you typically would use to run a school district, all of your procedures, your protocols, your team meetings, those things are all out the window, and you're trying to reinvent that in this new world. At the same time that you're worried about your family and other people's families and folks getting sick. So most of my days are spent in meetings and Zoom meetings with the VSA trustees and communicating with the AOE and looking at the new legal guidance and looking at the new AOE guidance and then moving that on to my administrative team who then moves it on to our teachers. And there are so very many unanswered questions about labor and paying people and contracts and all of these things that one can almost not imagine. So my focus is really supporting people and giving them the tools that they need so that the Katies of the world can keep being sustained in the great work that they are doing. I'm very concerned about our seniors. We're trying to figure out, we won't know until May 8th, whether or not we'll be able to have a gathering. We're talking about how we would have a graduation or would we have a graduation much later in the month if that was possible, what that would look like. We're talking about things like prom and would we have a prom in July? What would we do? All of the things that typically have answers to them do not have answers to them right now. And that's really the bulk of the work every single day is trying to figure all of that out. Hope people stay well and keep communicating with each other, developing new online tools to document the work. And so a big part of this week, the AOE is moving us from what they called a maintenance of learning to a continuing learning plan that goes forward, and this will require a lot more documentation. We just learned about last night, and we were meeting this morning to work on how we're going to take attendance. It's going to be required that we take attendance each day with students and check in, and we'll need to have a majority of students, which is about 51%, in order to count the day as one of the 175. So right now we're kind of embroiled in the state requirements to have schools in session 175 days and all that kind of goes with that. So that's the reality of what it's looking like right now. Every day is just problem solving and reinventing things to make it work in the new world.
Have any of the staff members in the Harwood Union District contracted COVID-19?
Not that I'm aware of, and on the other hand, I can't really talk about those things if someone were to test positive for COVID. It's the Vermont Health Department's role to be able to put that information out. All a school superintendent can say is we can tell you whether it is an employee, a student, whether they are male or whether they are female, and that's all we can say, and I've not made any of those announcements, so the answer is no.
Okay. Well, Katie Sullivan, as a classroom teacher, tell us how you greet your kids in the morning, and maybe that'll be our parting thoughts, because I imagine you have a certain talent at lifting people up.
No, I do. I like to greet everybody. Plus, I greet all my students and their pets. So, you know, we say good morning to the student and then good morning to Otto. And I'm also trying to make our morning meetings more interactive, so I give them little polls. And as I said, tomorrow is joke day, so the kids are coming to morning meeting with ready to tell us some jokes to keep us all laughing.
What's your joke for them tomorrow?
Well, they already heard my joke because I gave it as an example, but... Well, I'll tell you what this new one is. What did zero say to eight?
What?
Nice belt. You're going to have to think about that one a little bit.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Bridget Neese, Superintendent, Katie Sullivan, teacher at Warren Elementary, and Paul Morris, the head of food services in the Harwood Union United School District. Thank you all for being on the Vermont Conversation this week.
Thank you very much.
And that does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. We'll be back next Wednesday at 1 for another Vermont Conversation. I'm Dave. Thanks so much for listening.
The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, this special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. And nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.